we have a significant proportion of the South Sudanese population that is HIV positive. Around 2.7% of our population is living with the virus. They are HIV positive nationally, if you take the whole country. And that 2.7, if you look at the demographics, that's something above 200,000 people, which is very, very, very significant. Mm-hmm. And we should also know that, you know, some areas are not accessible, so probably the figures might be quite alarming. Now, the next thing is, if you look central Equatoria, where we are, the Greater Equatoria, mm-hmm. Greater Equatoria region, Bahar al-Jebel, the other states of the eastern Equatoria region, and mm-hmm. all that, you know, that the greater, you know, the when we look at the whole Equatoria belt, mm-hmm. The HIV prevalence based on the last antenatal care sentinel survey that was conducted, it shows that where we are, probably the HIV prevalence is around 2.6, and when we cross the Nile to the eastern bank of the Nile, the prevalence jumps to above 3. That's around 3.2 to 3.4%. Now, as we go towards the western part of the Nile, and that is towards the greater western Equatorial state, we realize that the prevalence is 6.8%, which is quite alarming. That means nationally, if you take 100 people, around 3 of them are HIV positive. And when you look to the highest hit state, we realize that the HIV prevalence per every 100, we expect close to 7% of the population is HIV positive. And it's very significant, thanks to the Ministry of Health, the South Sudan AIDS Commission, the global partners. A lot of awareness was done. The figures came down to around 6.8, from 7.2 to 6.8, which is very, very significant.
But as you are explaining, of course, within these regions, what is exactly the reasons that contributed to this decrease or increase of this HIV status in the country?
Let us not take these regions to look at it. The other thing is, you know, let us also realize that our communities, some of them are closed, you know, issues to do with sex are not discussed quite openly. And not only that, when we look at the way the healthcare seeking behavior is manifested in the community, it's in some states people have that open healthcare seeking behavior. And let's veer from the fact that these figures are based on antenatal care sentinel survey. Women coming for antenatal care, then they get tested, and the number of positives are projected onto a special software, which is through the Ministry of Health and the UNAIDS. Then these get propagated. It is not based on a population-based survey. So there is a possibility that because the healthcare-seeking behavior in these states, people are so much open to that healthcare-seeking behavior. So many people come, pregnant women come for delivery, come to the hospital setting. That's where the figures are a bit high. And these areas, if we know, are well connected by a network of roads. Mm-hmm. Now, the other states, the figures might be a bit from, like, for example, Greater Jonglei is around 1.6%. And then we go to the other states, the figures are probably less than 1%. That tells you that probably, you know, the navigability of the areas in the rainy season and during some years, you know, people sometimes of the season, because of the floods and all, the people are not able to go to those sites. So this is able to, like, literally, some women will deliver their own houses, attended to by the most senior woman in the family. So this could contribute in bringing down the numbers. But all in all, let us know that our goodness is, you know, things, pieces come. We might have a whole population-based survey, then we'll have accurate data that is significant of the whole country. So, and then the other thing, the figures coming down because of the efforts, you know, the Minister of Health, our able Minister of Health, the South Sudan AIDS Commission, together with the global partners, most importantly, the United Nations, they're putting their weight behind lots of, and now you see we're doing this program on the radio, and we have other programs too in the other different radios. So people are listening, awareness is going on. And let us also not realize that, you know, our organized forces have one of the most robust HIV responses, the SPLA, the South Sudan Defense Forces. Now, they have a very robust HIV and AIDS response or program. And this has done a lot of good in propagating messages and make people to change their mindset and develop healthcare-seeking behavior and develop positive, smart, and adapt positive smart combination of HIV preventive strategies. So all these plethora of activities have contributed in making this significant drop in the figures compared to previous statistics.
Yes, Dr. Patrick, when we introduced our talking point this morning, one of the concerns raised by our callers, they were saying that there is some remote areas, there is no testing centers, and also they are scared because some medical officers are sharing information about the status of people who went for testing.
Thank you very much for that. Yes, all of us are aware of these challenges, and we will have in the subsequent programs the leadership of the South Sudan AIDS Commission, probably with the leadership of the Minister of Health being here, they will be able to address, to reinforce my voice. But based on our close contact with them 2 to 3 months ago, we started a very giant program. And this program was what we refer to as the 100 Days of Test and Treat. Those 100 Days of Test and Treat brought all the actors from the Ministry of Health, the South Sudan AIDS Commission, the civil society organizations, associations of people living with HIV, the organized forces, the SPLA, okay, but then it was just changed to South Sudan People's Defense Forces. Now, we are able to bring all the counselors and the persons who work in the different VCT centers, you know, voluntary confidential counseling and testing, or HIV testing service centers. Now, we're able to give them refreshment and refresher trainings so that, you know, their knowledge is updated. And I have to tell you that the protocols we follow are protocols set by guidelines set by the Ministry of Health, and these guidelines are developed as a result of advice from the World Health Organization. Every testing process follows the principles of 5 C's: confidentiality, first consent, second confidentiality, 3 correct results, and most importantly, there must be connection to services. After testing, then what? If it is a referral service, mm-hmm. we get services. If we test negative, we get counseled on the benefits of keeping our positive status, our negative status, so that we continually negative. If it is we are positive, we are connected to treatment services, right, and other things. Yep. Exactly. And probably, you know, not only that, the 100 Days of Test and Treat started in Jonglei. It was taken to the other greater states, and people are able to use mobile VCT services to go to those places. It is bad that war was a very bad thing. Some places were remote and they could not be accessed. But now that peace is in the room, we know that, you know, now we can be able to move to these areas. And we are, and that's why we are changing our mindset. You were reading to the new updates. I was impressed. Now we are developing innovative ways of testing. And I was showing you shortly how HIV self-testing has come into the whole thing. Yeah, probably by the ministry is working. But now, since the guidelines are not yet rolled out, we are doing guided mm-hmm. self-testing. Guided self-testing whereby we, in a very big establishment, we have done it with the Minister of Interior, we have done it with the Minister of Defense. People come in their thousands to want to know the HIV status. Test, and right. That is beautiful. Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. And things are changing. Mm-hmm. People are getting more aware. And we have trained counselors. Whenever that is being done, people are set up and counselors are ready to take on any complications.
Dr. Patrick, of course, from the very beginning when we gave the callers to call Radio Miraya, there were 2 issues. One was they raised the issue of stigma and isolation as factors that may be an experience for them, that they fear to go for testing. What can you say? What will be done for these people to encourage them so that they go for testing?
And that's what we're doing here: awareness. You know, basically defeating every challenge of HIV and AIDS or other related sexually transmitted infections, it's openness. Openness, discussing the facts as they are. We used not to discuss other things. For example, I would say I grew up until I was almost 13 years. I didn't know, for 11 years, sorry. I didn't know what the male external genitalia was called. Why? Because society is so closed. Some things are taboos. But now we have to change that mindset. We have to start to talk openly to our young ones. We need to know which age we should probably start to tell them about their bodies, about the dangers of what what happens if we play with our bodies, with our external genitalia, if we pray about with them, we need to start to change things. And most importantly, people must develop that information-seeking behavior. Get to a nearby, if you heard that there's a counseling session or there's an awareness session ongoing, any health awareness session, because it is through the medical centers, it is through the healthcare centers, through the VCT centers that we get information. Information is key. People go stigmatizing, people go fearing because there's fear. Why? Because people don't know.
Yeah, Dr.
Lack of information.
Yes, we are running out of time, but if I want to test, what should I do? Where do I go? Describe for us the procedures.
We are commemorating World AIDS Day today. If we have access, if any of us have access to the UN facilities, today we're commemorating World AIDS Day, in Plan B, we have set five tents, these are sedentary counseling centers meant with well-trained counselors. And these we also be doing supporting 500 self-tests, whereby people will get introduced, and if they want to do that, we guide them to where the self-testing is, and then the counselors out there reinforced parallel testing. Mm-hmm. Parallel testing is two test kits run together, then there's a third test for confirmatory test. And the government of South Sudan is commemorating World AIDS Day on the 6th of December. And there will also be testing taking place there, free, with no money. And not only that, we have established counseling centers in Juba, the military hospital, the SPLA Health Secretariat, we just ask where these places are. We know them, where they are. The Ministry of Health at Tamangada. Mm-hmm. The Juba Teaching Hospital. There are trained counselors refreshed mm-hmm. with updated medical information. Not only that, when we go to other healthcare centers in Juba, for example, Nyokuren Culture Center, Healthcare Center, Healthcare Center, mm-hmm. Gurei, and other states, and there are also mobile services available. So they are there 24/7.
Finally, Dr. Okay. Patrick, what should be your final remarks? Are we commemorating these days?
My final remarks is, let us ask ourselves, what have we done to end the virus from wreaking havoc in South Sudan? Because we have to start with South Sudan so that we know what is our contribution to the global response. The best thing we can do is to know our HIV status, and not only our HIV status, let us also check for other sexually transmitted infections, including hepatitis B and C. And most importantly, let us encourage others, our loved ones, to also know their HIV status and other STI status.